What's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." We're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about our free-for-all Friday. Now, the way we've been doing this, the first one, I believe this is the third free-for-all Friday. The first one was we did Q&A, and we had a good couple of good questions from the crowd. The second one, we didn't have as many questions from the crowd, but I did have some stuff lined up because I wanted to share some stuff with you because it's a free-for-all Friday. Today, I've got some stuff lined up to share with you. And I'll still take questions from the audience. We're so thankful that you're here. We've got Scott Beck. We've got Terry Crooks. We got Diana Harding. Good morning to you. Toposh, good to see you. And we're going to have people start rolling in as the algorithm pushes our content out. And I got to get some headphones. Hold on just a second. I have some videos lined up for us. And the first one for Free for All Friday is very interesting. I guess before we get into it, though, I would turn your attention to the bottom third here. Remember, Christianity Now streams on YouTube. I would love for everybody that consumes our content to consume it on YouTube. It really helps us out. We want to get up to 500 subscribers. I think we're at 191 subscribers. I could be wrong. It could be 190, which is amazing. And so I would love for everybody watching this to go to Christianity Now Streams and subscribe. We do a live stream every day at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, 11 Eastern. Tuesdays, my buddy Aaron Dotson and I, we go live and we have a Christianity Now podcast. And then every day we have streams, we also try to release shorter videos, whether it's chopped up from our long form live stream or whether it's standalone videos that we've produced by themselves. So you'll get a lot of value, hopefully, just from subscribing and keeping an eye on the channel. Christianity Now Streams. And comments, quite frankly, are easier on YouTube. I feel like sometimes Facebook really messes with comments whenever you're dealing with an aggregate like Restreams, chat aggregate. Anyway, all right, now that that's out of the way, join the Christianity Now Facebook group. We'd love to see you there. That's growing. It's like up to 120, 125 members thereabouts. And then remember, if you want to offer your ideas or input for show topics, for questions, then email www.christianityisnow@gmail.com. christianityisnow@gmail.com. And then, of course, if you like what we do, you can always send us some money through PayPal. www.nearchurches@gmail.com. Folks, let's get right into it. I'm going to Now, I want to set the stage here. I janked this video off of TikTok. I used to, and I guess I could just say this. I used to pull videos off of TikTok all the time because I thought there wasn't anything wrong with it. I've recently looked into the copyright stuff, and you can download the videos off of TikTok. Like anybody's video that's on TikTok, you can long press and download it. I thought that was what would be the word, tacit permission, like permission in perpetuity that you put it up on TikTok. If somebody else can download it, then somebody else can use it. It becomes theirs. And that's not the way it works. So, I've quit doing that, but, through fair use, you can download a video and you can do a reaction to it. So that's what we're doing today. Anyway, beware the Ides of something, something. That's it. Beware the Ides of March. Oh, I remember that. I I can hear that now, studying that in English Lit. We listened to a reading of it, and that old frail, beware the Ides of March. Anyway, Neil Abbott, what's going on? Good to see you this morning. All right. Incidentally, we got a lot of folks in. That's awesome. Thank you so much. And we hope that you enjoy your stay, and we hope you enjoy something of what we do. And good deal. Now, this is the perfect video to illustrate the idea that sin looks really, really good, but once you try it, you're not going to like it. And a lot of times, things that look really, really good that people try to warn us about, we're just so hard-headed that we've got to do it anyway, and it never works out. Now, it might be instantaneous, or it could take years and years and years. I was scrolling through this, and there was a video from a television show where a kid came and talked to this fella who was an upstanding citizen, and it turns out, according to DNA, the man was the kid's father, and from 2024 all the way back in 2005, this dude hooked up with this rodeo chick at a rodeo. Neither one of them got each other's names. It was just a carnal interaction. And then now, years later, this child finds his biological father, and of course, it's an upheaval. Sin will always find you out. In fact, those of you that are watching this, y'all know there's a verse in Scripture that teaches that. You can put it in the comment section. But I have never related to a video more than I've related to this kid. And he basically, it's Hershey's Cocoa. And I remember as a child, man, I remember doing this. I was so let down. Anyway, let's just watch the video, then I'll offer my commentary.
The child will not stop insisting on tasting this. I keep telling him it's going to be gross, but he does not want to listen. So I'm going to let him find out for himself.
Okay, I'm stopping right there. Look at that kid. Look at that kid. That kid right there, look at him. He thinks he's won. He is now vindicated. His mother has given in to his logical reasoning. And I can hear some, but mama, it's chocolate. But I eat Hershey's candy bars. They're wonderful. This has got to be the same as that. It's the same logo. It's the same color. It's the same material. Why do you not love me? Why are you not letting me eat this cocoa powder? You know it's going to be wonderful. And the kid bugged the mama so much that it reminds me of what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 and been there, done that, nasty tasting stuff. You got that, Scott Beck. Yeah, and I have too, you know. I have too. All right. Let's see. Where is the verse that I'm looking for? I'm going to start reading in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their foolish imaginations, and their foolish heart was, or vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to the corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause, verse 26, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Anyway. Man, I don't want to get bogged. I love this passage of Scripture. I don't want to get bogged down in it. Where am I on the screen, by the way? Let me get in here to the, where am I? Well, I am nowhere. Well, that's interesting. How come I am not somewhere? Oh, there I am. I can't think of a better picture to look at than that box. That, you, I hear you. the old Hershey's. Oh well. So I'll just leave me off the screen. Now, this kid thinks he's won. This kid is vindicated. This kid is going to prove his mama wrong right here. But y'all know he hasn't. Y'all know he's not going to. He's hard-headed. Look at that kid. That kid, I was a little cotton top whenever I was his age, and I was probably about as hard-headed. You couldn't tell me. You had to show me. And sadly, sometimes it didn't work out. Like, it didn't work out for this kid. Anyway, let's keep going. Oh, you see, he literally sank. It sank in right there. Oh, this is not good. Oh, now he's checking. He can't be right. He's got to double check. It's Hershey. Look at the little smoke cloud. Watch it. The little puff. That's what sin does. That's what sin does. It makes you sick. You can't handle it. It makes you sick. Hello, Brandon Wilds. Good to see you, man. Good to see you. So, is there any more apt illustration of sin, the pleasures of sin for a season? They look really, really good, but that's all it gets you. It's just on the surface. Listen to what God says. Look, let's go to Colossians chapter 3, and let's read this, and we'll go to the next slide here that I want to share with you. Incidentally, if any of you all have Bible questions that you would like to throw out, we can discuss that. I just lined this up for us today. Colossians chapter 3, listen to this. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and set your affections on those things above, not on those things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, put to death, mortify, therefore, in your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Folks, all of those things listed are really, really fun for a minute. They look really, really good on the outside, but all they do is make you sick, and you try to regurgitate them and spit them out. In fact, I remember about foul language. Now, listen, I've come under some scrutiny for sharing a story about some time I used foul language as a Christian, and I'll defend it. And if anybody wants to get with me privately, I'll talk to you about that. But I do not give a pass for anybody at all times to use what society considers foul language. There is a sense of societal propriety. And if we use vulgar language, it says something about us. If our speech is defined by vulgarity, it says something about us. And it says nothing good. Okay? Hold on just a second. Let me grab some coffee. Good morning, John Exum. Reginald Perry, good to see you. What's the purpose of dreams today in the Christian age? The purpose of dreams. I tell you what, let me get to that, but let me finish this point and we'll segue into that question. It's a good question. Do y'all remember the Mel Gibson movie Maverick? It was a remake of a classic television show called Maverick that James Garner played the titular character in. In this instance, James Garner played a sheriff. Mel Gibson played Maverick. In the opening scene, there is Mel Gibson, and he's on the back of, I believe, a donkey. And that donkey has walked forward, but Mel Gibson had a noose around his neck tied to a tree. And if the donkey walks too far forward, Mel Gibson is going to fall, and he is going to be hanged till he's dead. And so Mel Gibson's character, Maverick, is praying to God. And he is using foul language while he's praying to God. And I watched that movie as a young Christian in the theater for the first time. And I remember the more he cussed, the lower I sunk into my seat, into my chair. I could not believe. And I was like, what in the world? What am I going to do with some if decent folks see me here? It never dawned on me that, well, if the decent folks see me here, then the decent folk don't have a leg to stand on. Now, you use your conscience or not. Can you watch a movie that has cussing in it? That's between you and God. I'm not saying one way or the other. But my point is this. Very, very rapidly, I went from a person who did not use foul language to the point where I was so scandalized that it was even being used in my presence on a movie to I was using those words just like everybody else with the practice of the world. Folks, that's what sin does. Sometimes we have to work against our conscience. We have to kick against the pricks of our conscience. And just like that little boy that took that cocoa powder, he tried his best. He worked hard to get that down. And of course, it was so terrible that he actually coughed that little puff of powder spewed out. Be careful with sin. Sin will take you farther than you ever wanted to go, keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay, and cause you to do things you never wanted to do. And that's the lesson from that segment. All right. Got some good comments here. Let me get them. We may just forego the rest of my stuff and deal with y'all's comments. Good stuff. All right. What is the purpose of dreams today? Theologically, there are no purpose for dreams whatsoever. God does not communicate to us through dreams. God does not communicate to us in any way whatsoever except through his son, Jesus Christ, who had his testament written down and codified, and the canon of scripture was closed when the last person with the apostolic signs passed away from this earth. So we can have no word from God directly past the first century. Dreams are a way for our subconscious to sort itself out. Whenever we look at the world, we see a very low fidelity, picture, all right? However, our brain, it takes all of this information, all right? All this information, and it stores it. And it's almost like a computer with cookies. Every once in a while, you got to go in and you got to erase all your cookies because all of this ancillary information that isn't able to be processed and isn't worth anything. Like, for instance, behind me right now, there is something on the bookcase and there is a book. Like, I'm looking at my small little picture. There's a book with a red spine over there. I don't know what that is consciously. But my subconscious knows exactly what that is because that information is there. But I don't need that information for what I'm going through right now, so my brain doesn't process it. But it does store it. When we dream, we're sorting out our subconscious. Now, are dreams meaningless? Absolutely not. Should you put too much emphasis on what you dream? Absolutely not. You got to be careful about it. But the purpose of dreams today in the Christian age, it's a biological mechanism that helps us sort out our subconscious. In fact, some scientists postulate that these quote-unquote near-death experiences that people experience where you're going towards a bright light and everything's dark and then sound is kind of muffled and you hear voices and stuff like that. Some of those scientists are even profess Christianity. They believe that is your brain processing the very first trauma that it ever experienced, which is being born. Reginald Perry says, you answered my question, but I think I asked the wrong question. Well, Reginald, re-up it and I'll get to it. All right. Let me go, but thank you. And, all right. Now let me go back here. Incidentally, good morning, John X. I don't know if I said hi to you. I have a buddy and his wife just passed away. He is a drunk. I don't know how to turn him to God. He tells me God is a crutch. Brandon, that's a hard look. You just be there for him. I mean, that's all you can do. Don't wallow in sin with him, but be there for him. But in fact, be like Job's three friends before they opened their mouth and started talking. Just sit with him in his grief and be the example that he needs to be. Don't offer him solutions. He doesn't need any solutions. He knows the solutions. Now that doesn't mean you'll never offer him solutions. You got to be ready for that. But right now you just sit with him. There's nothing you're going to be able to do. That's not because God isn't powerful. That's not because God cannot work through you. He's not in the proper state to receive anything at the moment. Sometimes you just gotta sit with people in the dump. And I'm sorry that you're going through that, and I'm sorry that your friend is. In fact, so many, even Christians, do not put these things to death, but live in them. You got that right. Ooh, Neil Abbott, God is a crutch, but we're all lame. All right, John Exum. What do you think about a so-called church that sings Garth Brooks' Friends in Low Places and Miley Cyrus songs and the Miley Cyrus song Wrecking Ball while having the preacher dressed up as a referee swinging on a wrecking ball in a worship service as a Super Bowl Sunday? A so-called church did this. They also had a halftime show where they literally kicked Bibles like a field goal. I want a video of that. I want a video of that. I'm not saying you're not true. I'm not saying you're telling what you're saying is not true. I'm saying I want a video of it. What do I think about a so-called church? It's a church in that it's a group of people gathered together for a purpose. But Ooh, John, that you can't Bible that, can you, buddy? Awesome. Thank you, John. All right. Number next. One individual claims you believe we should cuss when studying with an individual who cusses. Yeah, that's absolutely false. And the people that are saying that are actually bearing false witness. And Aaron Dotson and myself talked about that for close to 4 hours. Yeah, no, I don't believe. And again, my challenge, and this is the problem when people pearl clutch and like, I can't believe you cussed. Well, Andrew Connelly, I've got a video of Andrew Connelly that I shared where he cusses during a gospel sermon at a lectureship. Are you pearl clutching over that? Anyway, I do not believe. You gotta define your terms. One individual claim, and it's not just one individual. One individual claims you believe we should cuss when studying with an individual who cusses. That's the absolute stupidest thing I've ever heard. And incidentally, whenever I used the language that matched the individual that I was speaking with, it wasn't in a Bible study. Yeah, I think that the accusation is absurd, because all you got to do is listen to the podcast. And even the people on the podcast that were ultra offended when they heard the context and the explanation, they're like, oh yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I get it. I agree. All right. God only communicates to me in dreams when I sleep during the sermon. There you go. Yeah, you can't, if you're studying the Bible with somebody, and there are people who think that, they think, well, you know, Paul was all things to all people. So, you know, I'm going to adopt some of the behavior of the people that I see him with. Now, listen, I have studied the Bible with people while they smoke cigarettes. And I've studied the Bible with people before, not a formal scheduled Bible study, but I'm talking about outdoor knocking. Knock, knock, knock. My name's Tony from the such and such Church of Christ. We'd like to invite you for a Bible study, schedule a Bible study with you or invite you to services or what. And then they come out on the front porch and say, well, I'm going to be out on the front porch for a minute. We want to study the Bible now. Well, sir, I can. I mean, well, I got some time. Well, they pop a beer and light a cigarette. Now, what do you want me to do? Oh, I can't believe you're drinking that beer and smoking that cigarette. You're hell bound. Well, they don't even believe the Bible's the Word of God. They don't submit themselves to the same standard I submit myself to. So I have studied the Bible with that person while they're on their front porch, while they're drinking a beer and smoking a cigarette. That doesn't mean I'm going to drink a beer and smoke a cigarette. If you cuss with one who cusses, why not fornicate with those who fornicate? It's a fair question. Fair question. All right. Hold on a second. Where am I at? Hold on. I've lost my place. Oh, there's Reginald Perry. Okay. Yeah, God is a crush, but we're all lame. Boom. I'm going to type it. People often follow the crowd without questioning why. They embrace trends because everyone else does, and they find comfort in large groups. When you share the truth with them, some may react with anger while others kindly remind you that we all have our own beliefs. Does following the crowd provide people with a greater sense of comfort than questioning why they follow the same path? If I'm understanding what you're asking, I would say the answer is yes. It is much easier to lie to people and convince them to believe a lie than to convince them they are being lied to. All right. And that's it. What a bad example to give to someone who thinks Christians shouldn't cuss. Yeah. And again, remember, define cuss word. Who defines what a cuss word is? If saying a cuss word is sin, then you got to say that there's a group of words that will cause someone to lose their salvation. I need a list of those words. What are they? Nowhere is that list of words found. Mankind, culture dictates that list of words. I promise you, these people that are pearl clutching and saying that Tony says that if he's studying the Bible with somebody and they cuss, that he can cuss. I've never said that. I've never affirmed that. Nobody that I'm friends with affirms that, nor believes that I have affirmed that. And they all are privy to this scenario that I've talked about. I say they all. I have a very small circle of friends. My point is this. Andrew Connelly used the word jackass, not as a description for an animal, but as an expletive describing a human being. Is he going to hell because he cussed and didn't repent of it? Is everybody that listened to him in that lectureship going to hell because they didn't admonish him? That's it. Yeah, we are a little sanitized in the States when it comes to cuss words. Other countries, quote unquote, cuss in everyday conversation. It's not cussing to them. Yes, if in fact, that's what I would tell these people. You need to touch grass. You need to go see other cultures and quit being so egocentric. I've meeting people that are native born India. Well, these people use the word shit. Now, in our culture, that's a cuss word, but it's not a cuss word everywhere. So that's what I'm saying. If you're really going to nail me to the wall and tell me I'm going to hell because I've quote unquote, and that's the thing. It's not that I cussed. It's that I mirrored, and it was for a very specific purpose. All right. Now, Tony, how do you know what speed to introduce a Bible study when speaking with someone you just met? It seems like it could be fertile ground, but is there danger in going too fast? Absolutely. It's the same energy. So in the dating community, there are simps and there are pick me girls. Both of these come across as less than desirable. They're needy. And if you're a simp, if you're a man, and you're simping for a girl, you come off as cringy and creepy. If you're a pick me girl, you come off as cringy, maybe not creepy, because you're coming on too strong. I am not by far, not the person to ask about this. There are people that are so very much better at personal evangelism than I. But I will tell you this, it's a case by case situation. I don't think we should ever hide the ball. Like if I meet somebody, I work it into the congregation I work it into the conversation really quickly about the congregation where I worship. Now, I don't say I'm the preacher. In fact, I really like the idea that if somebody comes to visit, they're surprised when they see me preaching. But I think it needs to be introduced, the prospect or the idea of sitting down for a Bible study needs to be introduced as fast as it possibly can without making the prospect feel like you're like you have that weird creepy energy, you know. Scott, I don't have any good answer for you, but that's it's got to be quick. Like it's because here's the thing. It's an illustration I come up that I heard somebody say, friendship evangelism is all well and good until it turns into all friendship and no evangelism. And then it goes into friendship with the world is enmity with God. All right. Ted Knight, if you cuss with one who cusses, why not fornicate with those who fornicate? Absolutely. Now, I will say this, cussing and fornication are not on the same level because fornication is easily identified. But if I'm in Great Britain and I say the things that are accepted as far as everyday parlance over there, I'm going to use words that it would be unacceptable to use in polite society over here. So you got to be, I'm not saying you obviously, but we have to be careful that we're not, well, think about a Christian in Great Britain and they're speaking and talking in a way that is absolutely acceptable. Would we say that they're going to hell because, and I'm not going to repeat the words that they use, because I don't think it would be expedient. I'm not afraid to, but I don't think it would be expedient. Would we say that they're going to hell because they use words that we consider cuss words? Would that not be the epitome of what Paul is talking about in Romans 15 and Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 8? All right. Brandon Wild. So my suggestion, Brandon, is stop doing that. I still cuss all the time. I just try not to say that. Yeah. Yeah. So that's good that you've removed that from your vernacular, but you know, as Christians, we're supposed to be, temperate. That's self-control. And a person, and I'm not putting you on blast. I guess I am putting you on blast because you're up here. But what I mean, I'm not speaking as your judge. You're going to stand or fall before God, regardless of what old boy over here, Tony, thinks. But I would lovingly say my suggestion would be try not to say any words at all that your particular culture deems as quote unquote cuss words. Because it's not that the words themselves are sinful. It's temperate. We are not temperate. Whenever we speak and we don't control our tongues, whenever we don't control our speech, we're not temperate and we fall out of alignment with the Christian virtues. That's why cussing is quote unquote bad. It's not the word. A word is literally a sound that comes out of your face hole. There, it only means something because we say it means something. We both agree. Okay? But temper your speech. All right, I'm done. Anyway, that's all I got to say about that, Brandon. I think we're a little sanit. Oh, yeah, I've read this. And good point. Yeah, we're other countries, quote unquote, cuss in everyday conversation. It's not cussing to them. And again, are we authoritative to the point where we can say to people in Great Britain, when you use this particular word that we find so offensive across the pond, you're going to hell? Well, no, that's the height of foolishness. I want you to pray and ask God if he asks you to do God's work with us in Pakistan, then we will be happy. We want to do God's work in Pakistan with this ministry, and I want this ministry to save many souls in Pakistan. What's up, Bear? My suggestion is just share the content. We're not set up to be an actual, this isn't an actual ministry. This is two guys that have a podcast brand. And if spiritually, if you get any benefit out of it, man, that's really, really great. We're focused on disseminating information to helping people live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. But we're not a ministry like a church or something like that. You know, we're a podcast. We want to bring value to you through information and entertainment and lessons from scripture that are timely from the timeless perspective of God's word. And, yeah, if you feel this content is good, by all means, share the dickens out of it. All right. Brandon Wild. Yeah. I had a few choice words to say when I got hung up on an electric fence. That's it. And, bloody is a curse word in Britain, for example. Yeah. And we wouldn't think anything of it. So anyway, in fact, I remember reading Robert Jordan. He wrote an epic fantasy adventure, 14 books long. Brandon Sanderson had to be brought in to finish it after Robert Jordan's death, and he finished it from Robert Jordan's notes and a few chapters. And I remember thinking, man, this is a good sci-fi. This is a good fantasy series. There's no foul language or anything like that, but they're actually, Robert Jordan did this so cleverly. Cleverly. Yeah. All of the quote unquote cuss words, the expletives, they were unique to the world and the universe in which the story was set. So these people are foul-mouthed, some of them, and they quote-unquote cuss a lot, choice expletives, but it doesn't register as cussing because it's not words that we consider cuss words. that'll blow your mind. So that's why whenever somebody hears that podcast that I did and say, well, there's Tony, he thinks you can cuss. And if you're studying the Bible with somebody that cusses, he thinks he can cuss. Like, yeah, go kick rocks. You've shown me that you're really too stupid to talk to me. It's a Proverbs 27. Now, you cannot stand up to the scrutiny of fools, the anger of fools, the scrutiny of the envious. Go read it. When we die, do we wait for the second coming? Yes. Luke chapter 16, whether it's a parable or whether it's an actual account, Jesus parts the veil and shows us that, hey, whenever we die, we're going to go to the spirit realm, the Hadean realm, the realm of the dead, and we're going to wait. And when I look at Revelation chapter 20, and somebody may have to help me out here. What verse is it that talks about the second death? Or is it, Tony, here, let me do this. Y'all going to make fun of me because I cannot remember to save my life. All right. The second death in Revelation. Get some Google going on over here. Oh, the term second death occurs four times in the New Testament, specifically in Revelation. 2:11, 26, 2014, 21:8. Let me do 21:8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers, so on and so forth, will have their lake or will have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, let's back up to 2014. And death and hell. Oh, this is the better one. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So death and hell, the King James says hell, the word there is Hades. The realm of the dead evidently is consumed in this fire. So it's not there anymore. So now those people who are in the torment side of Hades, they're going to remain in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. That's the second death. That's Gehenna. And then the people that are righteous, the people that were in the paradise side of Hades, well, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we know that they're going to be caught up in the air with Jesus. So to answer your question, when we die, do we wait for the second coming? The answer is yes. And it's 1 Thessalonians 4 where the trumpet shall sound, the voice of the archangel, Jesus is going to appear in the clouds. Those that are dead will arise from the graves first. Then those that are alive will rise, and there we will forever remain with him. So, good question. I sent the video. It's a reaction to the service, trying to find the original. Internet's having issues this morning. I don't know if my previous one went through. Cool beans, John. We'll keep an eye on it. Brandon Wild. So there's a lot of waiting. Well, yeah. And incidentally, we're not sure how time is going to pass for us in the Hadean realm. I mean, a million years could pass as an instant. Like there's like, how do you gauge time when you're outside of time and space? So I don't know. I don't think we're going to get bored in paradise. All right. I was going to bring up scruples about Easter egg hunts at church buildings, but I won't go there. LOL. Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah. Some people go crazy. Some people go crazy. Yep. And look, I'm going to go on record. I don't think it's expedient. I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's something we quote unquote should do. And that's all I'm going to say. Because I know congregations who do it. I know congregations who have Easter egg hunts at church buildings. And they're congregations with whom I consider myself in fellowship. But I don't have to agree with that particular thing that they do. And you know what? Of all the congregations that have Easter egg hunts on Easter Sunday between church services, what do you think the percentage of them would be that called me and asked me what I thought? I'll wait. Of course, you know the answer is zero. All right. Now, and I got an amen from Ted Knight. I consider that high praise. All right. And there will be no time. Yeah, Ted, there will be no time. I think you're right. Like it's one when we're, it's beyond finding out, Psalm 139, 6. It makes me stutter. When we're in the Hadean realm, whether it's paradise or torment, we're outside of time and space. Time is meaningless. I dare say if we could receive a message from Adam in the realm of the dead, he would not understand how many thousands of years has passed. And he may have an inkling because he's going to be speaking to people. I mean, I fully believe that if you're in paradise and then 100 years later, somebody dies and they're in paradise, I fully believe that you're going to be able to talk to that person and you're going to be able to exchange information. A book, chapter, and verse for that, you say? I'm sorry, I don't have one. It's just in my head. It's what I think. All right. I want to go back really quick. I'm going to change this. Check this out. Now, this little baby right here. Now, this was a video, but I just took a screenshot. Oh, man, I don't know where it is. Hold on. I can't read it on my screen, which means y'all probably can't read it on yours. I saved this as empathy. Imagine now this is a little newborn baby. Now, when you think about that baby and why that baby cries and all this, that, and the other, would it be better if we did? I'm trying to get it to where we can. There, you may be able to read it here. All right. I'm a little off center, but that's okay. Imagine how intense hunger must feel when you've only ever known total satisfaction. Imagine how lonely a cot must feel when you've only ever experienced the tight embrace of your mama's womb. Imagine how scary silence must be when you have never not heard the beating of your mama's heart. Folks, this is a good example of empathy. There are some of us, quite frankly, who have experienced trauma and traumatic lives. And if we were to compare our traumas, your trauma might be worse than mine. My trauma might be worse than yours. But from my perspective, my traumatic event is the absolute worst thing I've ever experienced. So I am entitled to my reaction to it. Yes. Oh my, I just got tears. Yeah. So you are entitled to your reaction to trauma. Don't judge people's reaction to traumatic events. This reminds me of a book called The Whole Town's Talking. It's about people passing, and when they're buried in the local cemetery, they talk to each other and they stay updated about what's going on. Yes, hey, Alabama, I fully believe. Garland Elkins and Curtis Cates were very good friends. Curtis Cates succumbed to cancer several years before Garland Elkins passed away. I fully believe that Garland Elkins and Curtis Cates are in paradise talking with one another. I fully believe that if you've lost a loved one and they're in paradise, if you ever want to see them again, you better do what Jesus tells you because you want to be in paradise. You're going to be able to get to go see them. That's all I'm saying. And I fully believe it. It's a Fannie Flagg book. Well, hey, Alabama, I don't know what that means, but the information is profitable. Now, think about this. Imagine how intense hunger must feel when you've only ever known total satisfaction. Think about Jesus coming to earth. Jesus experienced full proximity, the second member of the Godhead, full proximity fellowship with God the Father and God the Spirit. He's known what actual paradise is. And then he puts on flesh and makes himself submissive to death, even the death of the cross. I hear people talk about the crucifixion. In fact, let me get this off here. I hear people talk about the crucifixion quite often. And some people are gifted and they can really give a, they can paint a word picture that if you leave dry-eyed, you're a psychopath. I mean, but when I think about Jesus, that's not what gets me. The years that he spent on earth had to be so much more torture than the 6 hours on the cross. We look at the cross, and because we don't have any other frame of reference, we're like, oh yeah, being alive for 30 years is much better than being tortured for 6 hours. I would imagine from Jesus' perspective, look, I can take being tortured for 6 hours. It's the 30 years that got me. Think about that when you think about the sacrifice of Jesus. If all would have happened, if the only sacrifice Jesus made, the second member of the Godhead made, was just to come to earth and walk in human flesh and die a peaceful death in his sleep, folks, that would be tragic enough. And yes, even in the face of all this, so many scriptures mention Jesus' compassion. What a great example for us. And Ted Knight says, very good point. Appreciate that. Yeah, he emptied himself. And so imagine Jesus' hunger. He experienced hunger. Imagine how intense it was, because he's got being with God himself to compare it to. When Jesus was alone, imagine how intense that was, because he's got being in proximity with God to compare it to. Imagine how weighty the passage of time would feel, because he's got no passage of time to compare. He's got the feeling of having no effect because of the passage of time to compare it to. I think the life that he lived, and we understand this rather intuitively, you know, it's really, really easy to die for a cause because you only ever do that once. The most difficult thing in the world is to live for a cause. And Jesus did both. He lived for us, which was so much more drawn out and intense than the 6 hours on the cross, as bad as the 6 hours on the cross was. Please understand, I'm not trying to take anything away from the 6 hours on the cross. Folks, I think that's what I want to leave you with today. Let's be empathetic. Whenever we look at somebody and look at what they're going through, before we dismiss their reaction to what they're going through, understand that what they're going through, if it's a negative thing, it's the worst thing that they've ever gone through, regardless of what we've gone through. So let's take on one of the attributes of God. Isn't he the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort? The 30 years before he started his ministry must have seemed like a really long time. I can see. Yeah, because that's another thing. He's not used to time affecting him. Folks, I've really enjoyed this episode of Free for All Friday. I'm really thankful to the comments that we've had. I'm thankful for the conversation that we've had. I pray that something has been said here to help you along on your journey to eternity. I hope that you will consider supporting us monetarily There's a few different ways to do that. All of them are in the show notes, but www.nearchurches@gmail.com. You can send us a monetary donation there. It's a one-time thing. Won't cost you anything other than the money you send. Or there's Patreon, www.patreon.com/Christianity Now. You can do for as little as a dollar a month. You can just set it up and forget about it. It's $12 a year. You can do Substack, which I'll put the overlay back up. Substack, you can do for $5 a month or $50 for one time, then get you subscribed for a year. But if you have a free subscription on Substack, you get articles every day. But that's a way to support us. Now, if you don't want to support us monetarily, YouTube, Christianity Now streams, be sure and subscribe. Even Rumble, go to Substack and subscribe for free. Check out the links that I shared in the comments section. We were going to talk about an argument called a negative inference fallacy that suggests that Mark 16:16 does not mean that baptism is necessary for salvation. I'm going to make a standalone video over that. Terry Crooks, the awareness that people are attempting to harm you from the moment of your birth until your last day must have been profoundly terrifying for Jesus. Yes. Oh, man, yes. And he lived with that. He knew. And think about it. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him, but Jesus still ate with him for years. All right, I got to be done. Guys, this has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations. As always, you can support us monetarily. The way to do that's in the show notes. Subscribe at Substack. But also, if you like to have access to these archives, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, you can go sign up there. You can subscribe. And these archives, the audio for these podcasts are uploaded there. And you can listen to them in the background and all that good stuff. I highly suggest you doing that. God bless you. Thank you so much. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations, and we'll catch you on the flip side.